Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania was one of a few states to implement SEL, and that is social-emotional learning, with only a $5,000 grant just a few years ago. Legislators knew nothing about this. There were no hearings held, and it was not in the news whatsoever. So basically, the state, parents, taxpayers have been left in the dark on this. So we're going to look a little bit into what parents should look for, how this is being implemented, because it's definitely in all 500 school districts in the state. My guest again today is Cheryl Boyce, an education advocate in Allegheny County. Thanks, Cheryl, for being with us.
You're welcome.
So, SEL snuck in the dark of night.
Pretty much.
And legislators are in the dark, literally, because it's something that the Board of Education and basically the Department of Education partnered with, Cassell.
Right.
Okay. And so it's there. Governor Corbett, when he was running for re-election, said he was going to get rid of it. And the question brought up was, well, are you going to tell the other school, going to tell the school districts that this is no longer in place? That's kind of the history of it somewhat?
Basically, okay. Yeah. Basically, for an initial $5,000 grant from this organization, Collaborative for Academic, Social, and Emotional Learning, we basically started down this path. We were one of the first states to start down this path.
So
not all 50 states at this point jumped on board.
Oh,
some of them actually. No, not everybody has it. Right. And what basically they want it to be national. If you read the Cassell website, that's their objective. Some states actually, when they found out about it, there's an organization, American Principals Project in Washington, D.C., that were, I was on a conference call with them with people from the states that were initially involved with this,
mm-hmm.
and of course I was representing people from Pennsylvania, and we're listening to other states, I want to say Georgia, but I'm not sure, one of the other states had the parents went ballistic,
wow.
And they went to the legislators and said, we want this out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you don't know what this is, we haven't had a look at it, we haven't had a conversation mm-hmm. about it, we want to see what we're talking about. You know, this is an outside organization, it has nothing to do with us and our
right,
state,
exactly.
You know, yank it, and we want it gone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And some states are more effective with that. Pennsylvania, it's almost impossible. And I don't know why, as much work as we do to try to get them to understand,
right.
I don't know if it's because our legislature is so big, our bureaucracy
that
is huge.
To do with it, yeah.
Yeah, and that needs to be all tailored down.
Mm-hmm. Well, and supposedly the legislature's trying to shrink itself, but I think maybe it's more lip service than actually voting themselves out of jobs. I don't know.
Yeah,
253 legislators.
Yeah, I mean, and the other issue, I mean, you have like, and you do have. We have the state board. We have 21 members, largest state board in the country. A lot of stuff gets passed through them, though I'm not blaming them necessarily for this. I'm blaming the Department of Education, which is a separate entity. They're sort of tied together, but it still functions separately. But we have 21 state board members, and they're appointed. And states like Texas or some states, it's a mix. Some states, you have half of the people are elected by the voters of the state. The other half are appointed to the state board. Texas, they're all elected by the voters. In Pennsylvania, if I asked everybody, do you know we have a state board? No. Do you know there's 21 members? No. Do you know they're appointed? No. Do you know there's no level of accountability and transparency for them? No. And the same thing with the Department of Ed. Do you know anybody in the Department of Education? No. So you don't even know who these people are.
And they probably don't even know that there's a Secretary of Education.
No. And he is horrible when it comes to this kind of stuff, because he thinks all this stuff is going to fix everything. See, all these kind of programs are going to fix everything that's wrong in society.
Just dump more money into it, and that'll fix everything.
It's going to fix everything that's wrong in society.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about the deterioration of the family in some of these communities. We're not going to talk about anything like that that really matters, that has a direct daily impact on
mm-hmm.
the kids.
Right.
We're going to do this because that's going to fix everything.
Yeah, because all they want to do is dump more money into it, and thus they have more control over it. And I think their ultimate goal is to replace the family, to replace the church, and just have the kids look to government in general, or as a whole, to
fix everything.
Fix everything, and they'll turn to government rather than to the family or to the church to fix any issue. And that's very sad.
And it's ironic that you're asking about this today, because if you look at what's going on at the national level, they used to hide who they were about the people and the things they believed in, and they weren't honest about, you know, we want the government to have more control. Mm-hmm. Because what you're asking, that what they're asking for now, when they say we want more government programs and we want them, the government, to do more things, which you hear candidates out there now running for president who are saying that,
mm-hmm.
the more you do that, the larger bureaucracy, more things like this are going to happen, mm-hmm. more they're going to standardize and expect everybody to march by the same drummer, and they're going to define what that drummer is supposed to do.
And that's I think a lot of people haven't thought that through.
No.
And the scary thing, and I know this is what the kids are being taught in school, is that they're all for socialism, and capitalism is bad and such as that, but that's all part of what the public education system is now. So how is this social-emotional learning being implemented? Because even though then-Governor Corbett said we're going to get rid of it, the school districts were not told this, and it's being implemented across the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, probably in all 500, I'm assuming all 500 school districts.
Again, you'd have to look. I think the best thing to do is look at your own individual district. What I did in mine is I actually went to the district, and I said, after I found out, I said, okay. I said, here's my social-emotional learning, social-emotional standards. Are we using it? Yes. Where are we using them at? Well, one of the places they're using it a lot are in guidance programs.
Okay.
And I would assume, I bet you any money, if you look at social studies and health and places like that, you're going to see this kind of thought being introduced, because when you're talking about principles and like this rights and responsibilities of citizens in a social context, I can see that in a social studies class.
Yeah.
I can see that. And I don't even want to get down the road about how this is being introduced and implemented. Sometimes it depends on the teacher. But I would ask my district, and I'd say just point blank, and I would phrase it like, are you doing it? Where are you using these standards?
Mm-hmm.
Because that way you're putting it on the spot that, don't have them have a chance to, like, get out of saying, we're not doing it.
Uh-huh.
Say, where are you using these? Because I understand Pennsylvania has accepted these. It's been working with these for a very long time. Where are you using them in the district?
Okay. Because I know that when I looked on Cassell's website, they had curriculum, they had a PowerPoint presentation.
They have everything.
That you can convince your school board, I guess, that this is a good idea if they have it. Fully bought into it, and curriculum and everything. So, yeah, and that's CASEL.org, I believe, is the website.
Yes, but CASEL. Yeah, and actually, they're having a conference. If you look on their website, they're having a big conference in October in Chicago, because they're trying to promote this. Here's what they're saying. Today, we collaborate with leading experts and support district schools in a statewide initiative to drive research, guidance, and practice and inform policy. And they're having this big conference because they want to make this now nationwide.
Mm.
So,
we don't have enough snowflakes.
No, and one of the things we have to get over is this idea of equal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got this thing about equity and equal.
Exactly.
Okay, you can provide equal opportunity, but you're not going to have equal outcome.
Right.
And they think if you teach kids certain attitudes, values, beliefs, that that's going to make them all walk to the same drummer. They're not going to be the same. They are going to be very different. They're not going to be all the same people. So I don't know how we can make these bureaucrats get away from this.
Yeah.
You know, it's inconsistent.
Yeah, and some of them are probably satisfied with, because their thought, especially progressives, their thought is, well, we'll get the kids when they're young. We will convince them that our thinking is good and right, and it's the only right thinking. And then they'll have more voters once they turn 18, or in some cases they want to lower the voting age to 16. But I think, I don't know if conservatives see it, if they see the problem, because the media is so immediate when it comes to attacking conservatives who have some kind of complaint against the public education system.
Well, I think there's also, too, there's a big movement afoot amongst different business groups that want worker mentality,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they want, they're also behind this, too, because the Chamber of Commerce, I don't trust at all anymore.
No, they become
right. I mean, and the Business Roundtable, who's also out there, I don't trust them at all. Mm-hmm. I don't trust them one iota. And they basically, you know, are promoting this because they want workers to think one way,
mm-hmm.
you know. They want it this way. We're going to have a, you know, school-to-work model, and this is how we're going to teach them all to think, and we're all going to be cooperative, and if we can all cooperate. But you know what? Isn't it interesting that the very people that promote this are the ones that were out there creating their own companies and doing their own thing, and they weren't, like, following the crowd. You know, so you wonder, do they not want the same thing for the next generation of children coming up? Do they not want them to be able to be creative, independent, and think on their own, which is what got them to where they're at?
Yeah, so that would totally destroy entrepreneurship in this country.
I mean, there's so many things you have to look at because, see, they look at you, and this is how they do it to parents, and parents have to stop falling for this. Well, what's wrong with that? Don't you want your kids to be civil to each other and nice? And that's all we're trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
And you look at them and say, well, why do you need all this other paraphernalia coming from outside groups? You aren't capable of showing them how to do that in the classroom. You're not showing. I mean, it just, I don't know. One, teachers should be very offended, because if they're smart enough, they should be offended, because basically these people are saying, you're not smart enough as a teacher to know how to deal with your kids in the classroom.
Exactly, yeah.
And therefore, you're not a professional and competent, so we have to tell you
how to do it.
Yeah, we on the outside, who have no idea about the 20
kids
in your class, we're going to tell you, you know, what you've got
to
do. Right, because you're not smart enough to figure this out.
So they also could be coming into the school system using maybe anti-bullying curriculum or safety curriculum of some sort.
Yeah.
So there's all sorts of ways that they can get into. So there's so many areas that the parents need. First, they need to understand that social-emotional learning is not good, because it's basically there to brainwash their kids to think that they all should think alike.
It's funny you should say that, because that's where the grant went. When it came in the PA Department of Education, there's a division of, it's called Safe Schools. And the director of Safe Schools, who, by the way, I cannot find out anything about this man. When this happened 6 years ago, I wanted to know his credentials.
Well, that's understandable.
I wanted to know where he was coming from, because he's the one who applied for this grant and got us in the middle of this. And so, yeah, they are saying, you're absolutely right, don't you want your school to be safe?
Mm-hmm.
We don't want bullying, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, the more we do this, you know, the more we have the problems.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like sex ed. You know, it's like the more we did that, the more of a problem surfaced, because we would tell the kids the basics, but we wouldn't say, by the way, you know, there's something called, you know, love and respect and commitment.
Right.
We're not going to tell you about those things.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to give you this fundamental thing, and then you don't think
about the condoms and assume they're not going to do anything with them. Yeah, sure.
Right,
yeah.
And they don't think beyond that, because they're not taught to think beyond what they're being told right in front of them.
Right, because they're not permitted to lay a moral foundation based on scripture, based on God's word, because supposedly is unconstitutional. Our founding fathers are holding over in the graves. Yeah.
Right. I mean, you're not allowed to talk about any of that, and churches are like. Because I know in my community, sometimes I look at, we have a church organization, and not all the churches belong to it. And that particular organization, when they come to school board meetings and talk, I'm like, who are you people? I mean, I don't understand. I mean, the things they talk about is, this is like, I don't understand where you're coming
group?
From.
It's a church group?
It's a church. It's a cooperative of certain denominations in our community, and it's not all the churches.
Okay.
Some of them are completely don't want anything to do with this. But when they show up...
But it's a liberal organization, though.
I mean, it's like you look at them and like, what?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, the liberal churches seem to be able to get unified and pushing the quote-unquote progressive agenda, where the Bible-believing churches are afraid, to me... The Bible-believing churches seem to be afraid to address, quote-unquote, politics because of the supposed separation of church and state. But, oh, yeah, I've seen too many liberal churches marching in gay pride parades. Yeah, very.
Yeah, I mean, parents have to get over this of being afraid. You have to and I'm going to tell everybody today, and I mentioned this to you because this was timely, too, after, you know, you mentioned doing this today, the book about unmasking the administrative state, the crisis of American politics in the 21st century. The author, John Marini, Marini, you can get this on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, this book, Unmasking the Administrative State. What he's talking about is exactly the fact that this government in this country, and we've got to get over this thing, we're the taxpayer, we're the voters, we're the parents, we're the citizens.
Exactly.
They work for us.
Yeah. Which they have totally forgotten.
And these bureaucrats who are running the show, who are overstepping their bounds, and our legislators and congressmen who are allowing them to do this, in some cases, in some cases they don't know, I'll give them that, in some cases they do know, and they're allowing them to get away with that. They're abdicating responsibility. This has all got to stop.
Yeah.
And the only way it's going to be is when parents go to the school board and say, hey, folks, there's nine of you. You all work for me. If you don't know what this is and you can't see this for what it is, I'm going to explain it to you.
So how can parents get that information where they can approach their school board? They can
I think first you go on Casella and you read about it and you understand that it sounds all good in theory and everything always sounds in good theory, but you have to remember, how do you teach this kind of stuff?
Yeah. To such a diverse classroom.
Right.
Just taking one classroom.
Right. And you only have the kids X amount, and you are supposed to still teach them academics somewhere in the course of the day.
We haven't even talked about that. They're teaching all this socio-emotional stuff, like worse reading, math, and arithmetic, and we're wondering why test scores are going down, down, down. I mean...
And you look at other countries, our NAEP scores are in the toilet, and they keep saying, oh, well, if we have these standards and these testing, then we're going to be competitive internationally. Well, we aren't, because other countries, they're actually sitting in a classroom in Japan, and they're teaching their kid algebra, traditional algebra, and they're making sure that they know it. In our class, they're saying they were going to address the whole child, okay?
Yeah.
Well, okay, what do you want us to do? Bring in a bed and you're going to let them sleep there?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where does it stop?
So their concept is they want to address the whole child. I mean,
right.
This is SEL's concept. They want to address the whole child.
Right.
Again, just totally pushing the family, the church.
The community.
The community out.
Right.
They want total control of these kids to, you know, unscrew the tops of their heads and pour in stuff that they want them to learn so that these kids all think the same. The whole child.
And if you want to see how well stuff like this works, look at our urban school districts in the state.
Oh, yeah.
Look at Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Look at some of the districts in Allegheny County. Look at Erie. Look at Erie. I mean, that's a mess.
Yeah.
So look at those districts where they do this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the more they do it, and the more they take the responsibility away from the family, and some families are very happy to let you raise their kids.
That's true.
I realize that. But there's a lot out there that don't want that.
So they need to know what this stuff is and what to be on the lookout for.
And understand it. And if you're saying, well, that's going to help this child over here because this child isn't getting it, and just stop to think, yeah, but they're also doing it to your kid.
True, because you're talking about the entire classroom.
The entire classroom.
You know, and we're not just, this is not something parents can opt their child out of. If you're talking about it being implemented through guidance programs, through social studies, through safety programs, anti-bullying programs, that's not something that you can opt your child out of.
Well, it depends upon the program and how it's integrated within the curriculum. If it's a guidance program and it's something separate from a classroom academic program, there are things. I will tell you, our district did a program called a multicultural sensitivity training program.
My goodness, that sounds scary.
Yeah, it was, and it was done for freshmen in high school when they came in their first semester, and the woman in charge was not even a teacher or a psychologist. Mm-hmm. She was a staff person, had no credentials, and it was a sensitivity training, and they were talking about social-emotional things.
Oh, wow.
And
they could opt out of that, though, I'm assuming, since... I mean,
I did. I actually, a school board member comes to me, and she said, ask to see the actual curriculum.
Okay.
So I went and got the curriculum, read it, and I said to the principal in writing, I said, my kids are really busy. They have a really full schedule, and they need a study hall. They had no study halls.
Okay.
I said, instead of doing this, can you send them to the library for a study hall?
Mm-hmm.
And they did. But you have to know, when you look at these programs, some of these extra these programs are non-academic, then you say, ooh, like that one, a must.
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah.
And then you read it, and you got to be kidding me. So, you can say to the district, I don't, and of course they could, though, if the district knows you well enough and you let them know that you're not going to back down.
Right, yeah. And that's a key thing right there, because otherwise some parents may be intimidated by the principal or the superintendent, and they have to know you well enough to know that you're not going back down, and that you may write a few letters to the editor or something like that.
Exactly. You let them know up front. Do it one time, and they'll get the message.
Okay. So parents should go to their school district, basically saying, "We know that social emotional learning is
in the state,
and I want to know that as a parent, I want to know how this district is implementing it.
Right, okay. And I want to see it. I want to see either a curriculum or their guidelines. Okay. I want to see where you're putting it. Is it in the guidance department? Is there any conversation about this in social studies? Where is that in the district?
Okay.
Let me see where you have it, and I'd like to see what it looks like.
Okay, fantastic. That's the, so the parent, that'll be action steps for the parents. And I strongly encourage parents listening to check this out, because this is not good. I mean, they're just trying to brainwash the kids into walking in lockstep to say 99.9% of the time, it'd be into liberal thinking is the way they want the kids to think. So you mentioned American Principles Project a little bit ago. Do you know their website?
Yeah, you know what? I looked at their website and they've completely revamped it, and I couldn't find where education is on their website anymore.
Okay.
It used to be, it is the American Principles Project. If people want to spend some time clicking around their website, but it's not real obvious. They used to be able to go on, click on education, and they did. Their attorneys looked at this. And they have a set of attorneys down there that's who was on the conference call. You can look at that and see, unfortunately, as time goes on, and this kind of stuff becomes more and more entrenched in the mainstream, it becomes harder to find people doing
to fight against it because
it's so entrenched and nobody knows, they can't separate it out from what's going on a daily basis.
Because it's just all like a intertwined, like a giant web, and it's all part of.
Yeah, and one other thing too, Diane, I think parents need to talk to their kids.
Okay.
And I think they need to say, what did you learn in school today? And start talking about, when you talk about attitudes, values, and beliefs, you have to start having that kind of conversation in your home.
Okay. Right. That's very true. That's very, very true. So parents should talk to kids about what actually took place in school that day, as well as addressing the issues at home, which is very, very important. That's something that even Scripture tells us that we should do that.
Absolutely.
That the parents are supposed to teach their kids the values and such. And plus, parents need to go directly to the school district and say, we know this social emotional learning is in the state. We want to know how you are implementing it.
I would start with my local school, the school they're going to be going into, and see what that school says.
Okay.
And if you don't get a response, because it's called going through, the chain of command. Mm-hmm. And if you don't get anything from them, then I would go to the administration, and then I would go to my elected school board members and say, I've tried to find this out.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you to find it out for me.
Okay, so start on the bottom rung at the local school district, then administrative office, and then school board if you don't get any responses otherwise.
I think you start asking questions of teachers, too.
Mm, yeah.
I've been known to go to a teacher and say, what's going on? And some of them will tell you and some of them won't. Some of them also know that this is,
and it's not good.
Yeah, they know. Some of them get it.
For sure. Hey, thanks, Cheryl, so much for this. You're always just a wellhouse of information when it comes to education. And this is something that's so very vital and so very much a top secret agenda in the schools. And there's so many agendas in the public schools that it's just tragic that our kids are being used as guinea pigs in all these social experiments. So thanks so much again for all the information. I really appreciate it. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.